Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how you doing?
Am I a sidekick or am I a co-host, Chris? You're the host, am I a sidekick?
You're neither.
Just a guy who turns up every week, who edits this claptrap into some kind of order. I don't cut anything out. I just top and tail it, upload it.
I think we complement each other rather well. I was talking to a friend about this the other day. I'm the serious one.
Right.
Who keeps things on track, right?
Yeah.
And you're like the funny one who just says weird shit in between.
I was told.
So I give the podcast a sense of structure and then
and
you derail
gravitas.
It. So if you're like a crazy train driver who drives a train off the track, I'm the guy that brings it back on the track every now and then.
Dentured ear, something or other.
Exactly.
Video game. Why can't I go left now? It's because you're on a track, Pete.
You have to go straight, Pete.
You've got to go straight. You're
serious,
scaring
Chris.
Me straight. Yeah, because I was once featured by the Guardian newspaper as one of the top seven, possibly five, sidekicks in British radio.
When was that?
About 10 years ago.
And what about now?
Very much not a sidekick. I guess I am here, but...
One of the top seven sidekicks... Well, that could be the new intro, not one top of the London radio DJ. One of the top seven sidekicks in British radio of 2018,
yeah,
2008.
Because exactly. I was known as Cheeky Pete. That was my name, because I refused to go down to the music library to pick up Sir Mix-a-Lot's Baby Got Back from the XFM library, because Lon Laverne needed it, and I said I can't go down there because that's the only song I'll ever have got out of the library, and that's a really bad look for me. I work for XFM, I don't really want to be. And she went, oh, isn't he cheeky? And then I became Cheeky Pete for about 5 years.
Why wouldn't you get Sir Mix-a-Lot?
Because I had never got a song out of the XFM music library at the radio station, and I didn't want that to be my first song. I wanted something
cool.
Great
first song. Great first song.
Chris. Chris is going home, guys. I'm gutted. I'm absolutely gutted.
Yes. Oh, God.
Just the littlest hobo. It's a lovely song,
as
isn't
I board the flight back to Japan. This is the most appropriate song.
Keeps on calling me down the road. Boy. That's where I'll always be. It was a TV
Pete,
shot.
Have you had too much Coca-Cola this evening?
I'm glad you finished that
fizzy
with
pop.
I'm glad you finished that with Coca-Cola. Yeah, I've had too much Coke. Too much Coke. Now, I'm having a good time. It's Sunday night, and to be honest, I'm really looking forward to getting home and having a cheeky Chinese, as a posh man once said to me.
Well, while you're having your Chinese, I'll be throwing all my stuff in a bag full of tea bags and dreams, and I'll be catching a flight in the next 12 to 24 hours. I'm not sure what time the flight is. I should probably check, but I'll be going back to Japan, having enjoyed my 3 to 4 weeks back in the UK. It's I love the way how vague I am about everything. 12 to 24 hours, 3 to 4 weeks. I
never
move
be
like
a doctor.
Water. Be like water, my friend, to quote that guy.
What guy?
The boxer. No.
Be like water.
Is it Muhammad Ali? No.
Be like water. That's his
Bruce
famous
Lee,
one.
Bruce Lee.
Oh, he said be like water.
Be like water.
He said be like water.
Be like water, innit?
Well, he's from Hong Kong. There's a big
I'm
old,
like water.
There's a big old...
I'll be like water on a British Airways plane going for 12 hours over the Siberian wasteland to
I
Japan.
I only found out recently that only one carrier, one airplane company... What do they call them? Airlines. That's what. One airline per...
Top seven.
Per country.
Co-hosts, presenters in the UK.
I didn't say fact bringer, did I? There's only one airline per country that is allowed to fly over Siberia, Russian airspace. England, I think, get two because Virgin might be ready to sell elsewhere, but Air France is one of them in France, KLM in Holland / the Netherlands. It's really interesting.
Well, I feel like you're wrong because Japan has two airlines and the UK used to have two as well.
Where?
Japan has Japan Airlines.
Right.
And ANA.
Right, ANA. And they're both allowed to fly.
The worst fact-bringer ever.
I reckon there's some loophole, or I reckon they're just better friends with Russia. Either way... That seemed to, that I'm almost certain I watched a YouTube video about that because Russian airspace is so profitable to the Russians because before like literally when the Soviet Union existed you couldn't fly over Siberia you couldn't fly over Russian airspace so you had to take like 3 or 4 stops before you got to Tokyo. Tokyo used to take like 20 hours.
Yeah, I remember I read the autobiography of Alan Sugar, the famous British entrepreneur who had an electronics business in the 80s. He used to get his electronics from Japan. They were made in Japan at the time, and he used to go to, and in the book he talks about his many journeys and trips to Japan and back, and it just sounds like an adventure and a half getting there and back, you know. But now it is just 11-12 hours. It's still a long journey. The views aren't good. It's just of clouds
and
Siberia,
cold
which
mountains
which literally has nothing of any interest to look at.
I'd really like to go to Yakutsk. In Siberia. There's some beautiful lakes that freeze, and the water is so crystal clear you can sort of just see everything that's underneath it. It's beautiful, stunning place.
I don't know if I'd like to go, but I know someone from there who lives in Japan, which is very nice. I'm off, though. I've enjoyed my time here. It's nice being in the studio with Pete. And, yeah, but, it's you know, it's always time to go back. I feel the calling. It's funny, when I get back to the UK, having been in Japan all of last year, I came back to the UK. For the first week or two, I'm in a state of awe. I'm just really excited. Like, you know when you just walk into a theme park, and you'd like, which roller coaster shall I go on first? What shall I do? That's how I feel when I arrive in the UK. So instead of roller coasters, it's shall I have fish and chips or
KFC.
Cheese or KFC or whatever. KFC that's good because Japanese KFC sucks. British one's good. They don't have popcorn and chicken in Japan, KFC.
Do they
know?
What have they replaced it with?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Literally nothing.
Wow.
It's rubbish. Anyway.
I am a subscriber to your Patreon. I mean, God knows why, because, I mean, we are in a venture together, but I still pay you my couple of bucks a month. I mean, I recommend doing that, because you do little videos and stuff that you wouldn't get to see otherwise. And I watched your recent one with all your Kit Kats.
I do.
There were so many different Kit Kats, each with individual Kit Kat fingers with individual little boxes. It's fascinating. Subscribe to Chris's Patreon because his videos are mad.
Don't do that. But do get Kit Kats from Japan.
Do get Kit Kats.
Kit Kats from Japan.
Yeah, but there was sake of it. But there was just like this weird kind of selection box of mad Kit Kat flavours from blackberries to sake to all that nonsense. It's very strange.
Well, in Japan, Kit Kats seems a luxury item. Mm. Whereas they're made in the UK 100 years ago, right? And we've got like 3 flavours. In Japan, they've got like 25.
Yeah.
I don't know how this happened. I think it's because Kit Kat sounds like Kitokatsu, which means to surely win. So when the Japanese marketing team at Nestle found that out, they were like, wait a minute, this is brilliant, let's market that and use that. And that's why Kit Kats are so popular in Japan.
It's weird that and also gifting chocolates is actually quite important, isn't it? Omiyagi and all that business.
Well,
every bloody train station has every little Tokyo banana stalls and
I love
all
it.
Kinds of business.
It's great. No matter what prefecture you go to in Japan, there's always a special Kit Kat flavour. I think the one for Mount Fuji, I put it in a video with Sharla once in September. It was strawberry cheesecake Mount Fuji flavour, because what other flavour would it possibly be? Nothing says Mount Fuji like strawberry cheesecake.
Yeah, damn straight.
I recommend wasabi flavour.
That's surprisingly workable. I had Skittles last night, which was from America. Completely different product, I realise. Probably Nestle, though. Who had a terrible reputation in the 80s for a powdered milk scandal. So a lot of people still boycott them. Not me, though, because I forget who owns what.
We're talking about Nestle or Skittles. We're talking about Nestle.
Let's talk about Skittles. No, I was talking about Nestle then. imagine Skittles flavoured powdered milk. It would be disgusting. Skittles, in America, they have like hot flavoured, like a hot, sweet.
Oof.
And I bought them and I was like, you know what? I'm into this. I'm banging into this. And I also bought a Butterfinger, which is my favourite US snack.
A Butterfinger.
It's like a Toffee Crisp, but more better.
Well, what better way to celebrate 1 year of the Abroad Japan podcast than by eating a handful of Skittles and butter finger milk thing?
Yeah, it's our
and
one
Kit Kat.
It's our 1 year anniversary, Chris, of getting in bed together podcast wise.
That's a horrible image.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I didn't even realise it was 1 year.
Mm.
This is our last podcast together in the studio where we're both in the UK for a while,
yeah.
And I'm getting on a flight tomorrow, and it feels like I could have prepped for this better, knowing that it was a 1 year special.
These things always happen like this.
Could have got like a band in to sing or perform the Natsuki song, or like, you know, we could have done something special.
We've had the Littlest Hobo show, a bit of music, so you know.
Yeah.
What do you need?
Cut my life into pieces.
There you go. Bit of Papa Roach. Papa Roach.
I remember, yeah. Everyone used to play that to pretend they were cool. And there were some people that genuinely listened to it.
Yeah. Not bad, is it? So, yes.
What have you learned from doing the Abroad Japan podcast, though, Pete?
I've learned a little bit of vocabulary, but mainly I've learned, not actually the podcast bit, but me and you doing a bit of YouTubery when I went to Japan last. I was quite fascinated by how YouTubers work. Watching you do a bit, watching Sharla do a bit, it was just
confusing. Have
you never
seen anyone make a YouTube video?
I'd seen people, you know, put things on YouTube, but I'd never seen the rigours of being a YouTube person where you got film yourself in the day and then you spend your nights editing and then the rest of the time worrying about, you know, videos not getting demonetised and stuff.
Well, yeah. I mean, what I've learned from doing a podcast in the last year is that it's a lot easier than making video.
Oh.
I must admit, the reward is greater for making it.
Who edits this podcast? If there's ever a mess up on this podcast, it's my fault because I edit it.
I just turn up and talk and then Pete edits it. It's a nice change. But I'd say I enjoy making podcasts more to some extent. It's easier and it's fun.
Yeah, yeah.
But the videos are more rewarding.
Yeah, I think so. And also
you can sort of sit there, you can watch it.
Read comments as well. Like, I was surprised how many people commented on YouTube videos. I've started doing voiceovers for the IGN video game channel, and there's a character in Kingdom Hearts 3, I think that's the one, whichever one came out this week, and it's called Xehanort. No, Xehanort is the name of the character, but I pronounced it right all the way through the video. It's a 10-minute video, and then at one point I said Xehanort, and the abuse. This guy's probably never played a Kingdom Hearts game. I haven't. Up yours, I don't care. I'm just doing the voiceover.
Well, yeah.
Pete's grievances.
I had a bit of a altercation with some guy on Twitter the other just yesterday, actually.
Right, okay.
You can go on my Twitter and look at my tweets and replies. Mm. Some guy called me a cancerous brand.
Whoa!
He said, I used to like your videos, but now you're a cancerous brand.
Why are you a cancerous brand?
And I just pulled him out. I was like, well, you're an idiot. I can't remember what I said to him. I had a little argument with him and I got a bit annoyed.
Why are you cancerous?
And then he's
brand?
Like, oh, you know, I don't know why you're getting angry at me, Chris. I've been watching you since you've had zero subs, as
well,
if it was some sort of defence.
Don't be bloody rude.
Just because you've been watching me from day one doesn't mean you're the... you know, it doesn't mean you can just be a dick and a cunt.
I have noticed that...
I just pointed out to him that I'm just a normal person who makes videos and does a podcast, you know?
Well, I've kind of... I mean, I presume he's upset with it because you haven't released a video for a couple of weeks. Is that why...
No,
you
it wasn't know, even that.
It wasn't even that?
No, it wasn't even that.
You've just been a cancerous brand.
I'm a cancerous brand. I might put that on the top of my YouTube
cancerous
banner.
Cancerous brand.
The Abroad Japan channel banner.
Wow. Wait.
A cancerous brand.
I mean, Natsuki's cancerous brand is Marlboro.
Yes, certainly is.
Wow.
But yeah, no, I lost my patience. Usually, you know, I get
what,
criticism.
Just back in it.
Well, I like criticism. I take criticism daily from hundreds of people across videos.
I take asthma medication.
Well,
that's the thing that powers me.
Equally as fun.
Mm.
But I like criticism. It's good, right? You learn about yourself. It's good to always be objective about what you're making and realise that it's either good or shit. But this guy, you know, what criticism was there that was constructive? A cancerous brand.
I don't know. I think sometimes people get fixated with a phrase they really want to use or they've used before. And also with YouTube and to a lesser extent podcasts, you kind of don't know how old the people are who are saying these things. And you might go all in and then you realise, oh, they're about 15. And you're like, oh, dear. Everyone's an idiot and they're 15.
I mean,
with apologies to the 15 I was listening.
That's true. I mean, I did take a fair bit of criticism. One of the reasons I've taken so much time off after the Journey Across Japan trip, I was burnt out physically and mentally from presenting and editing. But then twinned with criticism, I had various people that were annoyed that the videos weren't coming out frequently enough, which is my fault. Definitely overpromised too much and should have got someone to help me edit them, but I'm a control freak like a lot of YouTubers. But yeah, no, the mental burnout, the physical burnout combined with the criticism, it was just like, ah, fuck this. I remember I nearly just went and deleted the channel and threw the hard drives, all the Journey Across Japan in the bin and thought, fuck it, I'm going to go and move to Iceland and do something else.
Are you obsessed
else.
With Iceland?
Because it's good and I want to go. It looks really... All the YouTubers have been paid to make videos about Iceland.
I don't understand.
I want to go and have a look at it now. All the product placement on YouTube.
I've been there twice and it's... Because obviously it's closer to here than it is Japan, but I've been there twice and the first time I went was nice. Second time, you can... How much that place has changed, because before the big stock market crash, before their economy went down to the toilet, and it was all the people talked about. They didn't have any tourism. They didn't need to have any tourism. And now, tourism everywhere.
It's gone from like 200,000 or 2 million or something.
Oh, it's insane. It's absolutely insane. And the infrastructure just isn't there.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Iceland is the solution to my problems, Pete. Of that I'm certain. But I decided not to go to Iceland, but to carry on editing, because there are some amazing videos. But yeah, it's a tough thing being a YouTuber sometimes. It's annoying. I remember there was an article I read in Business Insider last yesterday. And Casey Neistat himself, one of the kings of YouTube, made a video about
sunglasses.
It with his sunglasses on, talking about YouTubers being burnt out. It's a weird thing, because it's hard to sympathise or empathise with the YouTuber, because they do something they enjoy, right? They travel the world sometimes just making videos. Often a lot of YouTubers don't even need to make much effort. It's just a vlog, you know, just filming themselves walking around.
Well, exactly, that's the thing, though, isn't it?
But they get paid a lot more than most people, and they have that freedom. And then they all get burnt out and complain that their life's rubbish.
Because they feel the need to have to, you know, put out videos every second
exactly.
day, which is difficult.
I feel that too, as well. But I feel a sense of guilt in feeling that. It's a weird situation to be in. Everyone's like, where's the next video? Where's the next video? I want it now. As if they're entitled to it. And you think, oh yeah, I should be making the video, but I'm also burnt out and I literally need to just not do anything.
But the most important, weird thing is that, like, you know, you could just film yourself walking down the shops and going around a 7-Eleven going, hey, look at this. Look at this candy you can't get in here. Look at this Coolish. That's Pete Donaldson's favourite brand.
Again, that's a Pete in Japan, the channel
Pete in Japan.
You've yet to make.
I just eat Coolish all day. But visited the Coolish factory, imagine that. That'd be lovely. I'd love that. Pete, get out of that vat.
Where did all the Coolish go? Just give you a pile of ice cream around your
face.
I'm sorry, boss man.
All of the Coolish is gone. We have to shut up the company. Because man ate it. Yeah, it's just like, you could easily do that, or you could do some good stuff. So, up yours, everyone. I'll be your heavy.
I felt that was going somewhere brilliant. Like, it was getting really poignant. And you're up yours.
Just, what do you want, quantity or quality?
I want quality.
Suck it. Suck it, internet.
You know, I'm glad people are keen to watch the next episode of Journey Across Japan and beyond.
The next episode.
I've been drawing up the plans for what's going on afterwards. I reckon this year's going to be big.
I've
got some videos
up
my sleeve and some situations that have arisen that could lead to a very good year.
Wow.
Which I can't talk about. It's a secret.
It sounds exciting.
And I'm in talks with various people about stuff.
Oh.
But people keep pushing me to do Natsuki the Movie 2 or make some sort of thing with Natsuki in it again. I'd like to. I'd like to get him to stop smoking.
I mean, that would just be a really irritable Natsuki. Just get angry.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I've been talking about it with various people, but I think the time is ripe in 3 months or 4 months to get Natsuki stop smoking and send him around the world, undertaking lots of weird, crazy challenges and undertaking lots of regimens to try and get off smoking and quit tobacco.
He goes from 40 a day to having massive amounts of jet lag for about a month, and you film it and put it in a video.
A man
slowly going mad.
I once saw Natsuki on a plane for 12 hours without a cigarette, and he was like shaking as if he'd been locked in a fridge. He was
my
like,
days.
The chair was like,
Did he not have like Nicorette chewing gum or something?
I think he had some patches he stuck to his like face, but it didn't work as well as a good old fashioned Marlboro Red 12 milligrams of tar cigarette.
Isn't that weird?
But I think if we can pull off the fine line between entertainment and education, it could work.
Mm.
But I don't want just a silly documentary like Natsuki the Movie again. It needs to be a bit more profound.
I thought Natsuki the Movie was quite profound.
It's because you were in it.
I was briefly in it.
In it? No, you were at the start.
I was not a feature.
You defined film.
It.
You were in the first like 5 minutes.
Because I'm definest.
Yes. We have a question.
What?
Question.
How dare they?
Got some questions.
It's like those incels, like those right wingers who their new thing is debate me. They say to women who are like politically active, they go, debate me. Like, fuck you, I owe you nothing. I don't owe you a response to this email, whoever you are. But well, thank Pete, you for your email.
Pete might not like the fax machine, but I love it.
I love it too.
I, Chris and Pete.
Just joking around.
I love tuning into the Abroad Japan podcast to help unwind after an evening of study. Aww. I'm an intermediate Japanese student at my uni and I have a big speech coming up that I have to write. My question, do you have any suggestions for what I could talk about? It could be about anything. I'd love to hear your thoughts for making great content on Japan. All the best from my prairie hometown of Winnipeg in Canada.
Nice.
Right, so you've got to do a speech, presumably in Japanese.
Mm.
Yes. What could it be about?
Canada's minister who got fired today by Justin Trudeau about the Huawei, I forget how you pronounce the Huawei phones.
Huawei.
Is it Huawei?
Huawei.
Is it Huawei? I thought it was Huawei.
No.
I thought it was a Hua.
Don't do the Hua, it's Huawei.
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 Huawei. Huawei. It just sounds like Huawei, man. Like a Geordie might say. One of Jamaican there. Yeah, why don't you talk about the political situation, political relations between China and Canada?
Don't know, really. I write speeches with the aim of winning.
Oh, sorry. Hey. Winning in Winnipeg.
I remember I've done two speeches in Japanese. The first one, I talked about fried chicken.
Muffed it up, didn't you?
And how much I love fried chicken. I muffed it up. But to be honest, even if I hadn't, I don't think I would have won.
Right.
Because there was like speeches about, really profound speeches from the rest of the contestants, like why I don't fit in, or my identity crisis, or is my child Japanese? Like really profound, powerful topics.
I mean, you should know.
I think it was a philosophical debate about bloodline and all that.
Is my child Japanese?
And then there was me like, oh, fried chicken. Oh, ha, ha.
Ha, ha.
Absolute dickhead. So I came back again. I did it again. This time I talked about how living in the Japanese countryside had changed me for the better.
Wow.
And they loved it. The judges loved it and I won.
Round of applause for Chris Broad.
And I won it.
Getting cachet from a speech he did 5 years ago.
And the that I keep bringing out every
day. Keep bringing out every day.
Right, everything's going wrong. Yeah. I won a speech contest once.
And I once did a kickflip on a skateboard. Everyone applaud me.
I think just try and write something that, you know, the judges will like.
Yeah, something that means something about you. Why are you interested in Japan, for starters?
Oh, yeah, there you go, Jake. Why do you like Japan?
Coolish.
Why are you interested in Japan?
It's the creamer.
What's the five reasons you like Japan? Something like that.
Yeah.
Clickbait speech.
Yes.
5 reasons I like Japan.
Beautiful. I like that a lot.
Have you got any questions or stories?
I've not got a question, but I am fascinated by this disgusting candy that somebody has made.
Right.
Basically, there's a 112-year-old Japanese tea company, Marashichi Secha.
Secha means is a kind of tea.
Oh, right, okay. Yep. So, Marashichi Secha. Basically, they've made what it claims is the strongest matcha green tea chocolate that's physically impossible. You know the Japanese, they'll put matcha in everything. It's quite a strong tea flavour sort of thing.
Well,
to add to
well
anything.
With Kit Kat.
It does work with Kit Kat.
It's got kind of bitter taste.
So if you look
well
at that, I mean, they've basically made their own kind of bespoke Kit Kat. They've seen Kit Kat's been quite popular and they've made this disgusting.
So these are sticks of green tea?
Sticks of chocolate.
Oh, right.
But with green tea matcha flavouring. It's in Shizuoka Prefecture, one of Japan's top tea growing regions, of course.
Right.
And in this sweet shop, they've made this special selection of chocolates. An assorted green tea chocolate, matcha 7, and there's 7 different kinds. And as you can see, they sort of go up from being very little matcha involved to very matchery.
So they're different colours, right?
Different colours. as it gets stronger.
Light green and dark green.
Yeah, so there's 16 bars of chocolate. So the ones on the far right are made with roasted tea, but the others are the other 14 are matcha chocolates. And they start off mild with a 1.2% matcha dose, which is like... You can almost taste the matcha, but you're like, this is a nice accompaniment to my chocolate. Very nice. And then the concentration ramps up through 8.2, 13.3% matcha, which seems like a lot because it's a strong flavour, very bitter. 29.1%.
Isn't that just like eating a green tea leaf?
Yeah, it looks it looks like you're eating crayons. It's horrible. It's disgusting. And apparently, 29.1% of his green tea... Look at the state of that man who's eating it. He looks absolutely disgusted by it all.
He's showing me the face of a man eating one of these sticks and his face looks like it's imploded.
His hair's gone grey. His hair's turned into matcha. That's how weird it is.
But green tea was supposed to be healthy.
But 29.1, apparently, any higher than the 29.1% matcha in a chocolate apparently just destroys the whole protein kind of mix and the chocolate just falls to pieces.
Really?
The whole thing just... you can't get it any stronger than that. So it's the strongest matcha chocolate content possible.
29%.
29.1%.
That's the...
Imagine if they were at 29.2 and the chocolate just starts melting.
God, they would have dared dream of such a thing.
Too much matcha. Well, I feel like Doc Brown, sort of 21 gigabots or whatever.
Gigabot.
It's the Gigabots. They are a Japanese robot that you can only find in Mandarake.
Disgusting Gigabot.
Disgusting.
There you go. There's one thing I needed to know this week, and that was the perfect amount of matcha that's required for chocolate.
29.1. Isn't that incredible?
Any higher than that, and the whole thing collapses on itself.
I love these crazy news stories from Japan. They're great.
And there's going to be a lot more. But for now, I have got to go and pack a bag and get on a plane and fly for 12 hours and then be jet-lagged and then get on a train from Narita into Tokyo and then get in a hotel somewhere, probably in Shibuya, and then crash on a bed and then cry because I didn't sleep on the plane for 12 hours because I was editing a damn video.
Get yourself to Bar Rockaholic. It's my favourite bar in Shibuya.
Bar Rockaholic.
Bar Rockaholic.
Will that help me get over my jet lag?
It can't hurt.
The loud sound of Japanese rock music.
Exactly.
I'm going to miss you, Pete.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been fun doing the ones face to face, even though you disappeared up to Scotland for a bit.
So. Yeah, but we will meet again.
We will meet again.
But for now, guys, no matter where you are, out there in the big wide world, we'll see you next week where I'll be in Japan and Pete won't be.
Yeah. So happy anniversary, Chris.
I'm the winner.
You are the winner. 29.1% of a winner.
29.1%. Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.